February the 24th, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. We're in for 1 hour. Listen, I believe it's the providence of God that we're here together, and I want to welcome you and say thank you for coming and listening. We're taking the time to do some prayers, send up the prayers in advance, but then we're going to, we're going to look forward to seeing the kind of interaction we have even after the show is over, and we many times get emails that come in, and those emails tell us many things concerning the show that go on. And sometimes those emails come from those who are on the other side of the fence, those who would challenge what it is we have to say, those who would listen. So I want to say a word to you real quick. Those who are satanic, ritually abused, those who are chosen ones, those who have sub-personalities that are charged with powers that listen, some trained to monitor, some trained to do warfare, some trained to take the information and send it to the higher-ups. That's right. Just want to say again, thank you for being here out on the field and for the engagement, and specifically for those who do not send emails and who do not make themselves known. I understand the spirit and power by which you operate, and I think that you understand somewhat the spirit and power by which, well, I operate. And going to confess freely, it's the spirit of the living Christ that guides and directs and compels. This is all about you and your life. This is about you, your destiny, your identity, everything about you. It really is. The subject matter deals with the clash of kingdoms, the clash of spiritual presence, the clash that is ongoing over your life and over the lives of billions right now. So the world is being set up on the one hand. The world is opening its arms to the prince of the power of the Eros, the air, the spirit that is now operative. Listen, either you have the spirit of the living God within, or you have spirits that are guiding, directing, and leading. I don't really believe there's anybody that's neutral. You can't stand neutral, as if you can stand alone. For those who are hearing this voice for the first time, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Got some good news. It looks like we're going to have better new equipment by this Friday so that the sound quality coming to you can be better. And I look forward to that. I know the archives, when we do the recording of the archives, they do come through a little bit better because of the system. But it looks like on Friday we're going to be able to bring to you a better quality of sound, and that's, I know, important for everybody, especially because of the topics. We're not talking about it because it's a theme among millions of conspiracy-interested people. We're dealing with it because, as we said on Monday night, Nephilim is clearly in Genesis chapter 6. Not just because it's historical that it occurred before the flood, because it occurred afterwards and has implications as I speak and has growing implications as we get to the end of days. What occurred there in the crossbreeding of fallen spirits with humans in the hybridization of, well, a transmutation, a new entity, something that was never meant, a mutation of the original. A Nephilim, more than just a giant, we're talking now the genetics of demonic presence in the DNA, in the blood, in the transmission. And this blood, this DNA has gone down the circuit, I believe, all the way to today, maybe even in lesser forms, but has also been preserved. And now listen, we'll check into this and may be part of the bloodline that will be used in the counterfeit conception of the Antichrist, the counterfeit incarnation of Homo Satanas. Again, Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Got a bunch of new stuff up, actually telling you about some of the big things coming up. And was even up last night late and today working on a series that we had a couple of pieces on. And we have some deep training for churches concerning infiltration of the church. We have just not put all that material out there because we don't want everyone to know what it is we do. But I do say that we need to have some stuff out there. So what I've done, if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, you're going to find on the front page a new series. Here's the title: How to Detect Satanic Ritual Warfare and Placed Infiltration. We're dealing now with covens that summon and send demonic presence, remote and astral attack, and so forth. So that begins Saturday. We're going to continue the series on Homo Satanus, on Psy Wars, and on ESP versus HSP, all of which are free, all of which will be listed in a different way on the website in March. Right now, the free course, Confronting the Powers, is still available. And you're going to see that Sunday night, we're going to have Patrick Huron, author of The Nephilim of the Pyramid, of the Apocalypse. And we're going to see what Patrick, all the way from Ireland, has to say concerning this same subject. Tonight, the third part of this series: Nephilim, the Occult, Nazis, Luciferic Recreation, and Military Weaponization. Wow, that's a lot of stuff to put into 1 hour. A quick note on some of the news, just locally here. A trainer of the whales and was killed today at SeaWorld. And it's once again putting these gigantic, incredible creatures, beautiful creatures, into that kind of environment. And today it went wrong, and the lady trainer was killed there. Also, you've seen on the news maybe already, the little girl, probably 3 years old, three-year-old little girl left in a bathroom. Somebody else eventually discovered, they heard her crying, and she is now out with foster care, and they are searching for parents and why and what. A little girl left in a bathroom. Don't know about the parents, don't know about the mom, don't know about why yet, but whatever we do, let's save the children, protect the children. They are pretty much innocent to the things that go on among perpetrators, and vulnerable, absolutely vulnerable. So we're going to take a look at this case also. We're still looking at the case in Pennsylvania of the lady that was brutalized for many hours and then left. And we're not finding any information on the motivation yet or on the motivation of the killing of Pastor Daniels in the ritualistic format. We are seeing some bits and pieces of the young men that were caught that were burning down churches in Texas. And basically they're saying there wasn't any motivation. And literally one young man was saying, they just hate me. Everybody hates me. And so it may be the psychological thing of hurt, hatred, bitterness, whatever it may be. Much more involved, specifically, again, profiling the tattoos, the background, and the motivations. But let's continue to keep our eye on it. It's not the big and broad thing yet, but it does lend itself to what's coming. And let's pray again for the victims behind the pediatrician, the doctor just caught, 103 children he sexually, physically abused, 471 counts of this abuse. So, folks, today, all over America, all over the world, we need to watch our children, guard our children. I say sacrifice the perpetrators and save the children. Vital thing. Especially in a culture where, since the 70s, well, in the lowest possible estimation, 2.4 million diagnosed cases of satanic ritual abuse who have been forcefully, through trauma, their personalities split, sub-personalities created, programming given, training given, the goal for creating super warriors. We write about it in our materials and have a lot. And many of you know that. And we must understand something, because I've got cases to the left of me, to the right of me, on the phone today, people waiting for me. I tell you what, you know, we just have so much we're involved with. And now, in 2010, 2010, there are thousands of counselors and helpers. But I talked to one of these dear victims today, and it really bugs me that they can go to a, well, they can call it a Christian counseling center. But here, and I knew that the local psychiatrist, because I heard him at a seminar, teach that we should not even talk to the subpersonalities and just ignore them so that they would go away. And I want to say that the concept coming from a $120 an hour psychiatrist is idiotic, it is stupid, it is not professional. It is wrong. It only aids and abets the length of victimization. There's no healing there. There's no answer there. Psychiatrists that just give drugs and tell the subpersonalities, you know, we're not talking to you, and tell the person to ignore it. Again, I cannot fathom the stupidity and the lack of pursuit and research and looking for the answer for these individuals. Hey, for those that do look for the answer, for those workers out there that want to help SRA, MPD, DID individuals, and you know who I'm talking about, well, then I think Isaiah 58, true fasting, how to break the yoke, break every yoke, spend yourself on the victims. Take a look at that today, Isaiah 58. That's for all the believers out there, brothers and sisters in Christ, baptized into one body, one Father, one Savior, one Lord. Hey, listen, my friends, we have far more unity in Christ than we understand. Blood-bought brothers and sisters in Christ, man, we should be loving one another, covering each other in prayer, helping each other, being allies. Quit shooting the wounded and leaving brothers and sisters on the field. We need to build one another up. Listen, you know how that happens? Keep reading the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit teach you again and again and again by all of what the Word of God teaches and shows. Well, enough of the sermons for right now. We are on part 3, Nephilim. We're going to touch on the occult, the Nazis, Aryan, super soldiers, military weaponization. One of the reasons I want to hit on it, because of the engagement we have had over the last 25 years, and we've only scratched the tip of the iceberg. We've scratched the tip of this dark, black, satanic iceberg. I'm going to tell you at the end of the show today, towards the end of the hour, how to look under the water, how to see a little more of that vast, broad domain of darkness, and its agenda is rising. I'm going to say it again, hell is rising. And the ramping up is unprecedented, but we have seen nothing yet. Are you ready for the greatest supernatural clash in human history? Will you be a witness for Christ? God forbid any believers being cowards in this day and hour. We need what God has created in Christ Jesus. Powerful servants of God who feel the fire of the Spirit of God and know what they must do in this hour. Become great, massive prayer warriors, soul winners. And listen, those who know how to stand. You can get a lot of that information in a condensed period of time. Obviously, on our website, we're trying to offer all that we can and constantly feel this urgency to put up more and more and more and more. Sorry that the quality is not always the best in the world, but we keep working on that. But I don't want you to miss coming to the conferences. Conferences that are cutting-edge training materials for this day and hour and the days and the hours to come. Michigan, the 27th, all day. I'll be teaching up there for hours and hours in open question and answer time. The 27th of March, 2010. And then in St. Louis, along with other trainers and speakers, we'll be down there to teach on the 9th and the 10th. And then in Nashville on the 23rd and 24th, one of the most cutting-edge seminars. I listen, there has not been a seminar conference like this anywhere yet. Tom Dunn has done a great job in setting it up. And you're going to find Dr. Future. Michael Bennett's going to be there. Joe Jordan's going to be there. Guy Malone's going to be there. Chris Pinto's going to be there. Tom Bionic's going to be there. Across the board, listen, Lynn Marzulli, myself, we're all going to be teaching down there. And they have added to the entire feature conference Derek Gilbert from PID Radio, that some of you know, is going to be the MC. And there is a suggestion to Tom, the coordinator, of another conference coming up that will involve four or five other major speakers and conference people and radio hosts, people that you know, that you've heard, but we're not going to talk about that until it's all nailed down. But there's three coming up within the next 40-some days, and actually next 2 months, all the way to the end of April. Hope that you can come. We continue to add on what we're doing here. Once again, you can write to us during the show, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. I know people have already emailed me last night at 3 in the morning. Also today, they're asking about a guy named Ken Klein that was teaching on angels and warfare and all this other kind of stuff. And I heard also the same discussions, went to the website, checked things out. And when it comes to biblical, you know, revelation, Ken Klein is nowhere near the truth. And obviously is a false teacher, false prophet, in the sense of his rejection of biblical revelation and his acceptance, which he's very sneaky about. And this is what cult leaders do. Once they reject the real Christ, the real Word of God, they then seek to replace it all with their personally given higher revelations. That's the key characteristic of every cult leader, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, across the board. You're going to find that what is not being told publicly is that Ken Klein, this fella, and I'm only answering the emails that came in, is operating under a different level of revelation that he claims is superior to everything in the past. It brings attack and rejection of God, the Holy Spirit, attack and rejection of God in Christ, salvation, and the centrality, my friends, the singularity of God's revelation to man. So that's just simply answering some of the emails that came in. Very dangerous in the approach and manipulation of the facts and the truths. And if we have to, we will engage this on a broader scale. Right now, our table is full, and we're talking to you. And we've prayed that God would be speaking to each and every person. I specifically hope that during this live time and during the archives that are downloaded, politicians and military individuals, those who are interested in the discussions, sometimes only to see what we really know, what you don't understand and what you don't know is what's really occurring in this battle over your life. And I just plead with you to go to the Gospel of John, look at Christ, look at the cross, and continue to ask, why did he do it for me? We'll talk more about that at the end. Right now, Nephilim, we're going to deal with about four areas. The occult, the Nazis, and Aryan issue. We'll touch on the alien, the super soldiers, and military weaponization. But let's begin here. In the area of the occult, we've already mentioned Monday night, the concept of, well, the conception. If you do not understand the concept, how B'nai Elohim came down and caused the conception, spirit to physical human egg in the woman, that should not be beyond biblical believers. When you understand the angel of God speaking to Mary and answering, when she said it too, honest question, how's this going to be? How's it going to be that God is going to be born in human flesh in and through me? Mary's dealing with it, and the angel simply tells her, it'll be done by God the Holy Spirit. So in the fallen angel to human the spirit to physical human egg conception, you have demon to human, which brought about Nephilim. In the incarnation, you've got infinite God causing the conception, once again perfectly bringing forth the incarnation, God in human flesh. And I hope that New Agers and Nephilim students and researchers will understand Nephilim is one thing, transmutation. The incarnation of God in human flesh. I mean, John's gospel will give you the great picture here. The Logos, the eternal, forever existing Logos, was with, is God, became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. Now, how can you understand and take in and believe the issue of the Nephilim and not understand and take in the issue of the incarnation and what it was for? Look at the Nephilim, what they were for. Man, they were out there eating people down the road. They were consuming everything. They were deeply wicked, and we'll talk about tomorrow night the possibility of their existence in the end of days. We have also mentioned that we have in the Nephilim, we have demon to female, and again, the result Nephilim. We have in the incarnation God to human female in as far as the incarnation God in human flesh. And then we have the Antichrist. Now, again, my personal opinion is that the conception and birth of the Antichrist has already occurred. And that it's similar to but counterfeit to the actual incarnation. Similar to but different and broader than Nephilim. Because instead of a fallen angel, now we have directly we have the fallen cherub. In this, the fallen cherub now literally is the cause of the conception. I believe that it's bloodlined, there's rituals around it, and maybe again, as you look at the series that we are doing on Homo Satanus, you're now dealing with Satan in human skin. The genetics of the fallen cherub himself now in humanity. And I'm going to tell you this. When it comes to the Antichrist, you've got the most cloaked, masqueraded, and most supernaturally, well, can you say he's a human being? Yes, on the one hand, he's called the Anthropos Anomos, the man of lawlessness. So even in Daniel 2,600 years ago, he has a face like a man. He has a mouth that speaks boastfully, a stern-faced type king, political leader, military connection. But I want you to understand that he'll completely look like the man because of the power of cloaking. The design behind this satanic incarnation is to bring about, well, something and someone that will be acceptable. But behind the mask of the skin of humanity is genetically Satan in human skin, the most powerful, outside of Christ himself, the most powerful human being in total human history. And for all the Europeans, he's most likely living among you and somewhere in the midst, in the mix of politics before the apocalypse of the man of sin, the man of lawlessness. So we have the concept here all down. It's all there. And the genetics, well, when it came to the Nephilim, they cannot be saved. If there's right now Nephilim on the earth, please understand redemption, the power of the cross of Christ, all that he's done was not done for demons, was not done for Nephilim, but for sheer humanity. God so loved the world. Do you understand as a human being God's placed importance upon you? Do you understand the majesty of humanity when it comes to God's picture of you? I know that sin has corrupted us and destroyed and disintegrated the Imago Dei and everything else about the heart is desperately, you know, it's wicked, evil, so forth, right? But God didn't save us because we were good. God didn't do what he did in Christ. There was no need for an incarnation outside of God wanting to reach us. You could talk about the incarnation and the miracles and all the other stuff being things that God did to demonstrate his presence, yes. But the if you miss the centrality, you've missed everything. It's all about you. It's all about God, because I'm going to tell you right now, I can tell you that I love you. I can look you in the face and tell you I love you. Doesn't matter who you are, psychic, warrior, remote viewer, reconnaissance individual, soldier. It doesn't make any difference who you are. As a human being, I can tell you that I love you. But when I say that God loves you, we're now dealing with immeasurable. You cannot measure the depth of this love. Because it's infinite. It's personal. From the heart of God, yes. The only reason God sent monogenesis Christ, one and only of a kind, the only reason, if you look at John 3:16, is because God loved you. So in the context of listening to this material, to me, it is not conspiratorial in the sense that it's part of the topic of discussion for talk shows. It is part of the actual conspiracy outlined in Psalm chapter 2, 3,000 years ago. A real conspiracy involving kings of the earth, nations of the world, and eventually the masses of the people under the spell, under a power, under I just call it the glaze of Luciferic presence. It involves mind control in the sense that there is a blinding, 2 Corinthians 4:4. It involves voice to skull, voice to feeling, or feeling to feeling direction influence. It involves the giving of ideas for technologies. It involves revelations that will so absolutely dazzle those who do not have the Spirit of God, those who are not aided to discern the difference, that they will believe that they have literally, that they're literally dancing with the angels. So there must be engagement. There must be massive prayer on the part of believers. There must be massive attempt at evangelization. I'm going to tell you right now, just as Saul of Tarsus was not outside God's grace and not outside the hand of God bringing him to his knees and opening his eyes, there is no occultist, no old Nazi or new one, and even the super soldiers right now. You're not outside of what God can do. For this, I am grateful. I'm grateful because of the goodness of God and because, well, the consequences of you missing God, as Elaine Christensen said in her book, Battling the Prince of Darkness. Great book, by the way. I quoted from it a number of times in mine. Matter of fact, I just sent it to a young man. Well, I don't know if he's so very young. And if Timmy's listening tonight, we've sent him a CD player and a bunch of CDs and that book, Battling the Prince of Darkness by Evelyn Christensen. Now, in there, she talks about the reasons why of writing and telling and reaching and giving your life to reach others. And her answer was what I put into, you know, our book too. And I agree with her because the consequences are so terrifying. The consequences are so terrifying. Even for those that are Luciferian elitists in their multi-thousand dollar suits drinking aged whiskeys, sitting atop their desks, maybe even listening to what you think, well, is just a fly in your ointment. David was more than a fly in the ointment in Goliath's agenda and approach. I think that the dark side does not understand that no matter how much they look down their noses and sneer at feeble, weak little human beings and little weak, what they would consider weak little Christians, your observation is so massively short-sighted. You cannot see the infinite God that stands within, beside, beyond. Christ in me, Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ above me, Christ. Your eyes are so glazed over. You can't see. You're not meant to. You're meant to be taken captive. Well, let's take a look again at Crowley. Aleister Crowley, 666, the beast, you know. Listen, even today he makes more influence probably than he had when he was alive. You do know about the ritual that was done prior to his going basically insane, living diseased and impoverished and dying in that condition. The ritual in which he had his son involved. After the ritual, everything that was done, his son was dead. In some senses, I wonder if it's like Manasseh. See, Christians, way back in the Old Testament, we find this kind of deep, ritualistic blood, child-giving, sacrificing, offerings. We find all of it. Matter of fact, I think we find more back there than we have yet seen. I really do. And I think that when you look back at Crowley, and you look back at the rituals and all that he's done, and I've seen videos and films and materials and written books or read books and materials, and I've engaged Crowleyites, those who are really into him, including the one that killed little Jackie Cooper, using her as a 13-month-old in ritual format, stab wounds on her feet. I think they said like 47 of them. Tattooed in the side of her head without the ink, though, were occult symbols. Numerous broken bones that were used, were done in rituals prior to her actual death so they could collect the tears. They were using little Jackie for their own sakes, for their own powers. Could you imagine that? And yet this man I met prior to the death, this man Michael, he's in prison right now here in Ohio, involved in the ritual killing. He claimed to be a self-avowed black pagan and a devotee of Aleister Crowley. For those that read the outskirts of Aleister Crowley and think that he's just, Ozzy sang about him, Led Zeppelin sang about him, others are engaged, people use his tarot cards today, all the rest of the stuff. Were there rituals that he's done that involve the eating of human flesh? Without question. Were there rituals done that involve blood of humans? Yes. Yes, you've got one of the most evil men ever in all of history, and yet he brought influence to military systems and to intelligence agents. And yet his works would also be read by scientists and others, and people would attempt to do some of the rituals that he had done. It's from Crowley, the concept of a moon child. He wrote about it. It's all in there, and I believe the attempt was there to create a demon-to-human conception and a hybrid. They would have looked at it as a enhanced or godlike human being. I mean, that's their version of it. I think that's the demonic advertisement. Oh, that'll be a... it'll be a godlike human being. It'll be an enhanced human being. That's what I believe psychics and specifically now remote viewers and others are falling prey to. For those in NASA and the NSA and others that have got into doing some of the, well, chaos magic, other things with the K, you know, the real stuff. Jack Parsons, the Whore of Babylon, the goal to actually do the ritual that would involve creating a Nephilim. That's right, right here in the United States of America. A United States military-oriented rocket scientist. Of course, Richard Hoagland speaks about the deep, dark side of dark occultism in NASA even now. Again, what they do not understand, the Spirit of God has painted the picture that when it comes to the end of days, the two primary targets of influence, of giving ideas, of steering, of taking them captive to do the dark side's will, political leaders, military men and women, specifically in leadership and in weapons development. Oh, I tell you what, the breath of the fallen cherub is all over super technology. The sciences of the Nazis continue today. Voice to skull, ideas pop in the mind, dreams, individual scientists meditating, getting ideas flowing in, and a presence that literally breathes down the neck of, well, planetary defense weapons systems. Anybody working in that field is working at the, you're working at high, high level technology that'll all be used in Armageddon. It'll all be used at Armageddon. That's why I think that believers out there can take a look at future prophecy in its detail and accuracy and then ask the questions, how in the world did it go that far? How did it get there? Revelation 19:19. How in the world did we make the world, I'm saying, the world, the globalist world, how did they make and develop the largest, most advanced technologically, most supernaturally charged military system in human history? And why? Well, the answer is right there. But it's being done right now. The development is occurring even now. And it takes some time to get to that ultimate satanic agenda. And so it has the idea of this breaking in from the dark side to ours, constantly pushing for the concept of a crossbred or a hybrid or enhanced humanity. And I warn those involved in the Indigo Children and the Star Children and those of you even in the alienology, ufology fields that believe that it's a good idea to mate with the alien presence, to have a human enhancement that makes humanity more supra-natural and broader. It's all part of the agenda to create mutated transmutation in humanity, ultimately to secure the globe and to bring about the most powerful, numerous, super soldier that you've ever seen in history. And I have no doubt at all in my mind that some of those who are the prototypes of Revelation 19:19 would be listening right now. Now, don't let it scare you that I'm letting you know that, well, I can feel it. There's no question if you're a believer in the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit perception, there's a way of feeling, sensing, knowing. Take a study of some of the things we've done already in the area of the ESP-HSP thing and this new series coming up, and we'll talk to you about why we need to be that sensitive to the Spirit of God and that alert. Let me just give you one simple verse. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, the Spirit of God says to every single believer, devote, this isn't the command form, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful, and then also with thanksgiving. Three things. So are you as a believer obedient to the Word of God and putting yourself out there as a devoted, powerful prayer warrior? In the context of praying, the Spirit of God says, and being watchful. Go ahead and check that word out in some good, deep Greek lexicons. The word watchful has the idea of looking for the impending danger. Looking for the impending danger. Looking for the impending danger. You see, the Spirit of God already knows it all. So he's telling you and trying to train you as a believer in Christ to in the development of a powerful prayer life that is not just for you to have goosebumps to feel good. It's about fruit. It's about accomplishment. Listen, my mentality is on asking so that we can receive, seeking so that we can find, knocking so that doors will be opened. I have no problem with the powerful blessing that comes with it. And the joy that comes with it, and the Spirit of God's leadership that comes in it. But in the context of praying boldly, strongly, consistently, and being devoted to prayer, I go to prayer not just for myself to feel good in a day. I'm not there just for a little crisis prayer. I'm not there for a two-minute devotion. I'm there standing at my post like a watchman on the wall. But in the prayers and to advance the kingdom of God and to see the hand of God outstretched includes praying offensively against demonic intrusion, advancement, presence. And that one Holy Spirit-given word that says, do this watching. You put this into, until you put it into practice, the Spirit of God can't help you do the watching or perceive what it is that you are. It means to look for the impending danger. The danger's not coming from God. The danger's coming from the ramping up of the dark side. From Satan's schemes in your personal life, against your church, against the body of Christ. And if all you do is look around and say, look at those Christians, how stupid they are and how bad they are, and you don't do anything to pray, what good are we? I mean, in what way are we useful in the hand of God? God, listen to me, I believe the Spirit of God is going to speak to some of you. God desires to have vessels in his hands that know how to pray with great power and faith, with alertness that looks for the impending danger, to level out prayers against the encroachment of the enemy and all that he's doing, leveling out prayers that can bring a shaking to buildings, earthquakes that open doors to gates, angelic help. Oh, look at the book of Acts. It's all there. God is the same. And even when it comes to the concept of Nephilim, was there anybody praying during the days of Crowley or Jack Parsons or the Amalantra working, the big rituals that have been done to open gateways that affect nations? Anybody praying against that? Anybody saying, I discerned that and now I'm standing opposed in the name? Is there any Davids that will go out onto the field of battle and deal with what seems to be the Goliath? When the Nazis rose to power under demonic revelation, shaping political ideology and military vision, guiding them to what seemed like the precursors of the coming globalism and Antichrist, leading into the scientists and science and Himmler and all delving deeply into the search for Nephilim blood, artifacts that would grant them supernatural powers to be able to rule the world. That's right, even artifacts can have demonic powers on them and grant favors. That's why Josiah destroyed them all back in 2 Kings 21:22. The destruction of the demonized objects and now demonized technologies. It's going to have to happen. There's going to have to be believers that know what to do. Was there believers in Germany praying against discerning of the impending danger? Bob Rosio wrote a great book called Hitler and the New Age. You can find it in Amazon for a couple bucks. I recommend it highly. Hitler and the New Age, the overall gist is his position on how the New Age movement in the United States and Europe now is very similar to the New Age spiritism that led Germany to Nazism. He mentions in his book there were probably about 8,000 pastors and only 200 that took up resistance against the Nazi ideology. 200. That the powers of darkness covered the land. You could feel it in the air there, as millions feel it in the air here and now. It's not good enough to listen to the talk show host. It's not good enough to just know and feel and see and close and lock your doors. Why not become a Daniel, an Esther, a Deborah, a Nehemiah? Why not become so powerful in the hand of God that he can count on you? Count on your faithful daily stance at the wall of intercession. Your daily witness out in the marketplace. Is there any Christian that seeks lost souls anymore? Any churches that weep for the lost anymore? When the Arians, or the Arian blood at least, was sought in the super secret Lebensborn birthing, genetic birthing process, spiritual, physical, yes, both were included. The goal, creating God-men, men, I mean, those that would have the powers. You know, that all began in the late 30s. Continued in the 40s. Of the 400,000 to 800,000 babies that were born, most of those would be in their late 60s now and had children. I wonder if there's any connection to the rise of chosen ones, satanic ritual abuse. Could it be that's why real undergrounders want the blood purified, sell the blood coven to coven, drink the blood, charged blood, that is. Charged blood. When you think in terms of even the entire field of hybrid aliens, the concept, you know, whether it's Mac or Keel or anybody else discussing the malevolent character of the kidnappings, the abductions, the sexual rape, the sexual manipulation, the seeking of it all spells out that they're seeking to recreate Nephilim. They're seeking to get into humanity genetically. See, when it comes to possession, and I'm going to tell you right now, in dealing with a case that involved demonic possession and created subpersonalities and genetic connections, at least they said it was, to, well, power in the blood, I was told by a subpersonality that the reason for the creation of subpersonalities was to shield the demonic presence deep within. To be the buffer zone which Christians coming would only sense the physical and not the spiritual. To hide and cloak the deep, powerful, dark, satanic presence within. They're there to shield that. If you're working with chosen ones in multiples, you're going to have to pray for the exposure of the deep, dark, hidden satanic powers that are there to operate and be used at the great chaos and anarchy coming. So then let's add in the concept of satanic ritual abuse, the purposeful creation of multiple personality disorder. Yes, it all begins, at least we can track it clearly back to the sciences and the psychologists of the Nazis. The breath that guided them to new technologies in the desecration of humanity, desecration of the human soulical side, to create a subpersonality that could be trained and charged with dark powers to fight as a super soldier, to infiltrate, to do many things. You see, the lowest scaled figures that I would give you is 2.5 million of them in the United States and Canada. Higher numbers given by others could go up to 10 million, not including Europe. You may say now 25 million cases where there has been a plot and a plan from birth, from bloodlines to create with subpersonalities so that ancient secrets can be hidden, so that knowledge could be embedded so that demonization and even the concepts of genetic demonic empowerment, what's the goal? The upper elitists need mass numbers of Antichrist loyal super soldiers who, when the call comes, will kill, slaughter, burn, explode, and do all they can without a conscience. Without any reservation. So that when DARPA takes in the concepts of creating super soldiers who will be killing machines, they are taking what came from demonic revelation, political ideology and thought, directly into implementing military vision, goals. To understand, go back to the Old Testament and see the king in a military battle against Israel. He was losing. Understanding that he needed supernatural help, he took his own son, sacrificed him on the wall of the building to summon and bring through great powers that would enable them to win the military battle. And they did. They did. The concept of the weaponization of satanic powers in the search for genetic material of the Nephilim, that only means one thing, the creation of a super soldier that they'd love to control. Who does think these things? Where do these ideas come in? What was Himmler's practice, Subordendorf, and many of the behind-the-scenes dark occultists that rose in the midst of Germany's shame and pain? You've got shame and pain in your life. Turning to the dark side will only be, like Judas, will only end in Akeldama, the field of blood for you, my friend. So the super soldiers are part of the program to be the troops of Antichrist. For the super soldiers that have handed me literature that told me from the elitists they can't wait till Armageddon to purposely send their super soldiers to slaughter me in battle. First, they didn't understand I won't be on the field. Look at Revelation 19:11. I will be in the air in a descent behind the awesome King of Heaven. Untouched, immortal, indestructible, and forever in the embrace of God. Those creating and those who are the super soldiers, and by the way, those who've been created in the early 50s, have some personalities in them that during the 70s were creating children just the same. Maybe more powerful, more sophisticated, more able, more undetectable. And then those who were born in the 70s, well, by the time they got to the 90s, early 90s, into the 80s, they were bearing children to keep the bloodline of these super soldiers continuing, growing. It's 2010. We are into the fourth generation. Out there, the agenda to supernaturally, spiritually, ritualistically conceive and bear a child that will be used in this project has gone on for many years now and is most likely happening. Well, maybe even while we speak, let me tell you quickly tonight concerning a law enforcement agent sitting in a car during surveillance, switch personalities to a little personality named Piet, giving detailed information of a military base in Holland, U.S. military base in Holland, in a sub-project. They described and then drew out for me the concept of the conception and what they've been looking for. I'm just simply telling you what they told me, that in the process of ritualized or demonized parents, they didn't have to be parents like mom and dad. I mean, the breeders, the mom and dad breeders that were already demonized and most likely bloodlined, causing the conception, but at the moment of conception, a ritual, a conception ritual, where demonic presence is infused with the goal of killing the human spirit, so that the entire development of a multi-personality chosen one would be energized and alive and develop under the powers of demonic presence on the deepest level. They believe they've been able to kill off the human spirit and replace with demonic spirits. One of the reasons why they got to continue to do rituals and have demons raised and brought into them and in their blood, so as to charge their ability to stay somewhat genetically in the human body. If you think in terms of the Nephilim being diseased, mutated, ritual sacrifice and the conjuring of demonic powers to bring inside of them only does one thing: to hold on and to enhance what they are. Chosen ones that are listening right now, the reason subpersonalities and the covens and those who trained you to do human ritual sacrifice bring demonic presence in and through the human trauma, blood. Once they're in that gateway, then to kill the individual, the third power, and then to bring the power of the demonic inside you, charge your blood all over again. Christians can understand being refilled with the Holy Spirit, being revived, charged up again, built up again. This is the concept in those who are chosen ones. Some of which, like this individual, said that if I prayed out all the demonic presence and the demons out of their blood, they would fall over as a lump of clay. Very similar to the Nephilim. We'll finish part four Friday night on the Nephilim. I can tell you there is a blood more holy, more pure, more powerful. That's Christ, the Redeemer. Believers, grow strong. Those who need Christ, come now. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. God bless you.